Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, your happiness specialist. And I'm smiling before the show starts because I'm listening to my son's song, the one that you heard prior to the show, the only one you heard, the only song that's on. And I'm smiling because he's in town today, so I get to hang out with my boy all day. All day, so I'm really, really excited about that. But I digress. For my new listeners, what is Reality Spirituality? What kind of show is this? Who is this Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and what the heck is she about? Well, before I give you that information, I want to invite you to call because every Sunday it is Ask Rebecca Anything, and you can call in with your questions about your challenges, your issues. The only thing is, we're not talking about other people and what they need to change. We're talking about you and what you need to change. This life is all about looking in the mirror, looking at you, looking at self, and what do you do and what can you do and how to do it. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. And again, I am a happiness specialist. Now, what that means is that my priority on this journey, right now and forever, is happiness and how to create more happiness in my day-to-day life. Theories, fine. Philosophies, fine. No, this show is about real life and what do you do when you know that you are irritated, annoyed, angry, sad, disappointed. What do you do and how do you get out of, what tools do you use so that those situations and those feelings, quite frankly, and those emotions, don't have any power over you. And in fact, when you practice, because happiness is a moment by moment practice, and when you practice in every single moment, you make the commitment to prioritizing happiness in every single moment, I'm here to tell you, you will experience more peace and more contentment. Because happiness is an interesting word. People define it in different ways. I define happiness as how to be in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a tsunami, in the middle of the hurricane, and still feel at peace. Happiness is peace, contentment, internal peace, external peace. Happiness is creating peace, as opposed to adding to the drama, adding to the problems. Happiness is our state that we were born in. We are the state. We are, you know, a baby is peaceful unless hungry, some kind of irritation, diaper rash. A baby is peaceful. And how to get back to that natural state of peace. That's what I teach, and I talk about our everyday circumstances. And today, you know, I teach a class every Thursday. It's called The Importance of Happiness, and I give homework assignments to my students, and I tell them, listen, you can either do the assignments or you don't. But what happens is, what I notice not making any judgments, but when you really prioritize wanting to experience more happiness, when you really prioritize it, put it at the top of the list, then life begins to shift. Life begins to change. Things, I'm not talking about you're not going to have any challenges, you're not going to have any struggles. I'm talking about how to move through those challenges, how to move through those struggles effortlessly. Let's do a little bit of foundation. Again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. But let me just give you a little bit of foundation first. Before you can prioritize happiness, you have to, and I've said it before hundreds of times, you have to want to be happy. You have to want to be at peace more than you want anything else in the world. More than you want money, more than you want health, more than you want titles, more than you want a relationship, more than you want a new car, more than you want your children to do to do what you want them to do, more than you want your parents to get it, more than you want. You have to really prioritize it. And with that comes a commitment. And when I say commitment, I mean you have to commit. You have to commit to wanting to be peaceful and wanting to give out peace more than anything else you want in the world, more than your ego. Now, the number to call in again is 646-564-9619. Press number 1 if you'd like to speak with me. I have a lot of people in the queue, but some people don't want to speak, which is fine. The topic today is how to, which is really, really interesting. It came up in my class, in my happiness class last week. How to, what do you do? This is it. What do you do when you find people pushing your buttons? And what does that mean anyway? What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. It means that someone can say something or do something, and I am instantly annoyed. I am instantly irritated. I am instantly bothered, right? They pushed my buttons, and now I'm in a different state. I'm not peaceful. I'm on high alert for annoyance and irritation. And this came up in the class. One of my students was sharing that when he goes out to dinner with his wife, that she has her cell phone and they're at dinner and she's on the cell phone and she's texting and she's emailing and she's doing whatever she's doing. You know, she's looking down on her cell phone. You've seen people do that, right? So my question to you is, does that bother you too? And it was a really great real-life example of, quote, people pushing buttons. Now, the bottom line is, and this is, there are no exceptions, you and you alone are responsible for your happiness, for your peace, you. So what he would do is, okay, you know, we're at dinner, I feel like I'm being ignored. This is very rude behavior. You're being inconsiderate. Those are all the thoughts that went in his head. And, of course, I said, listen, one of the things about people pushing your buttons is one of the things that you, the person in the mirror, one of the things that you know for a fact is that you are not accepting them. And I mean accepting everything they do, accepting that they're at dinner and they're looking down on their phone. So accept that all of it. And when you're not accepting, of course your buttons are going to be pushed. But this is the key. Who is responsible? Who are the buttons? The buttons are your buttons. So it is up to you to do something about your buttons, to eliminate your buttons. So guess what? You don't have any buttons to push. And when you don't have any buttons to push, nobody can push them because they're not there. But how do we get there, right? How do we get there? Listen, I'm raising my hand right now. I'm going to be honest, which I already am. I always am, but honest. Yes, yes, yes. When I am not centered, when I am not, when I am, you know, when I say centered, I mean, listen, we all run out of fuel from time to time. And when my tank, quote, my tank, I'm doing air quotes now, is empty, is on empty or low, then you know that, I mean, I know that I'm going to be more irritated. I'm going to be more agitated. Things that don't bother me when I'm all filled up with this contentment, with this peace, things will bother me even more. And I have to say that I've noticed, because one of the things about being happy and being more at peace is you really have to become self-aware. And you have to notice. And we're all so different. We are as different as our fingerprints. We are as different as as many stars in the sky. They're all different. So we're that different too. So you really have to do the work to learn you and to know you. So one of the things that I know, I don't know if it's in my head or not, but I feel a difference in my demeanor, in my body, in my attitude, in my patience, right before the full moon. Now, no, I'm not a werewolf, but I feel a difference. So when I feel that difference coming on, I know, okay, I'm on high alert for Rebecca, talk less, listen more. Do not respond. I don't care what it is. In other words, just shut down. And you can shut down in a room of thousands of people. You can hibernate when you're in the middle of a full room, an auditorium. But it's an inner hibernation. So I know, okay, so that's a sign. Everything that happens, especially when you're getting your buttons pushed, all it is a sign. It's a signal. It's a signal for me to say, okay, here's a button that usually bothers me, and on my days when I'm feeling really connected, and let me say this, I'm always connected, but there's some times when the irritability, that irritation is a little bit more prominent. Get it? It's a little bit more prominent. So this is what happened this week to me. When talking about having buttons pushed, and I have to say that, yeah, I got a few things. I'm not going to lie. I got a few things, and one of the things that just takes me to the moon, Alice, are, let me just give you the real life example. So I'm at my office. I actually work in a huge law office from 9 to 5. And I'm just not computer savvy. I'm just not. And there was an issue that I had in Word. It was really, really simple. What it is you can push a key. It's the insert key, and you push that key. And so it automatically types over what you've already typed. So when you're typing, it just deletes the letters that were there, so you don't have to do a select and delete. You just push insert, and it just starts typing over the letters. You know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you do. But for whatever reason, my insert button, what do you mean for whatever reason? The universe set me up, of course. The insert button wasn't working. And that happens from time to time, but it hasn't happened to me probably in years. And years ago, I remembered how to get it back. Years ago, I remembered what to do to make that function work. But for whatever, for the universe wanted to, listen, these people, this universe, this energy has a really wicked sense of humor. And on the day that I'm feeling a little bit with the full moon, and that's when they really like to jab me. They really like, I mean, I'm taking it personally. I know what they're doing. I'm a happiness specialist. I better walk the walk, right? So I didn't know how to get it back, but what I do have is a phone number that I can call all the way to Sacramento, where we have tech support that will answer any question about any computer, any program question possible. So I'm excited. All I do is make a phone call, get my insert button pushed, put back and functioning again, and I'm good to go. And I knew it was going to be easy, and I knew it was going to be simple, right? Well, there you go, starting off right there, having an expectation that this is going to be a simple problem to solve. I make my phone call, and I get this really nice woman. Now, let's call her Christina, because that was her real name. But, we're going to call her Christina. And I, right off the bat, I said, "Hi, good morning, it's Rebecca Norrington in Los Angeles. I have such an easy fix. This is a problem that's going to be fixed in a snap." I just knew it because in the past, that it was fixed really quickly. All you do is go into options and click a button, zip, you got your insert button function back. So I said that right off the bat. And she says, "Oh, good, I like easy problems." Because if you can imagine troubleshooting, tech troubleshooting, I mean, you get a lot of difficult problems all the time. So she said, "Great, what is it?" "Well, I can't get my insert function to work." She says, "Okay, here we go. Ready?" She says, "What's that?" So I said, "Okay, maybe I said, you know, when you're typing and you press a button and then that allows you to just type over what's already there, it just automatically types over the words." She says, "Is that a function that we've already had?" Now, immediately, I knew, and I started to, I said, "Oh, my goodness, I got somebody that doesn't know. Maybe she's learning, maybe she's new. If you're really savvy, you know exactly what I'm talking about in an instant." And I'm snapping my finger now. In an instant. Now, audience, it's one of my buttons. People that are in position that they're supposed to know something, and they don't, and they're, I'm going to use this word, it's a four-letter word, they're slow. I don't mean slow, like stupid slow, but they're slow in moving, slow in fixing, slow in determining the solution. And I could feel myself, see, this is what I'm talking about, when you really know. And I said, "Okay, all right, I get it." So I immediately went into, "So you don't know, listen to this, so you don't know how, you don't know what I'm talking about, and you don't know how to get that function working?" That's what I said, happiness specialist. And she says, "I don't think so." I'm laughing now, but trust me, I was not laughing then. I don't think so. "Can you explain again what you're talking about?" And then I went into, "No, I can't. Can you put somebody on the phone?" That's what I said. "Can you put somebody on the phone that knows what I'm talking about? Like right away. This isn't, I'm not talking about any complicated function in Word. This is simple." I didn't say all that, but I said, "No. Can you put somebody on the phone that knows what I'm talking about?" And then she did. It was another stab. This is another stab in my heart. It was another stab in my happiness heart. And then she said, "Hold on a minute. let me put you on hold and I'll find someone else to help you. Now, audience, being placed on hold is not a problem or an issue for me. Being placed on hold for 5 minutes is. Again, laughing now, wasn't laughing then. And I sat there and I knew, I said, okay, you cannot be happy and at peace and impatient at the same time. I already knew that. I was becoming impatient, which means I was not peaceful, which means I was not happy. I was becoming very, very impatient. 5 minutes. At first, I sat there, okay, this is going to be a second, longer, longer, longer. And I thought to myself, true story, I said, I'm going to hang up this phone and call back and get somebody else. But I couldn't hang up because what is that going to be creating? Hanging up, because when you call, you have to give them your name and your location, so they have a record of who called. So calling and hanging up was not an answer. I already knew that. So I just stayed on hold, and I stewed, and that steam was coming out of my ears. Finally, after I grew 3 more gray hairs, she came back on the line. Let's just call her Christina. Christina came back on the line, and she says, okay, I can walk you through it. Now, I forgot one important part. When you call the help desk, you also can go into this program where the help desk can see your computer so they can work. They can actually take over the mouse, and they can correct whatever they need to correct. So I was already in that phase. She could look at my computer, and she says, I'm going to walk you through it. So I hear her. So she's taking the mouse, and she says, it did click here. And there's another woman in the background. I can hear her. And the other woman is giving her instruction. Click here. Am I supposed to click? Oh, over there. Oh, click over here. Oh, okay. And I just lost it. I lost it. Yes, the happiness specialist lost it. Okay, please don't tell anyone. And I said, because still wasn't, she was clicking in the wrong spot. Oh, not that one. No, not that option over here. Disable, able, what? And so then I said, listen, can you put the woman on the phone that's giving you the instruction, that's training you? I didn't use the word training, but that's helping you. Can you put her on the phone? You know, the woman that knows how to do this. And then I added something else, which, quite frankly, wasn't even true. So see, I'm really just breaking it all the way down. Now I'm lying. I said, because I'm on a deadline. I have to get this document completed by 9:30. And I think it was 9:20 at the time. By 9:30. So now I'm lying. Listen, I'm just being real. So I made up this whole thing about I'm in a hurry, deadline for this document. I don't have time for you to be trained on this. Lord have mercy. So then, of course, the other woman comes on the phone, and she says, yes, I think she already fixed it for you. So now I have to test. I said, okay, hold on. I didn't think it was fixed. I mean, it didn't look like she clicked any buttons. Hold on. I go back into my document. I try the insert button, and of course, guess what? It wasn't fixed. It still wasn't working. Now, I was in a tizzy. I was in a huff. Steam was coming out of my ears. My eyes were rolling. I was huffing and puffing. I was impatient. I was annoyed. I was all of those things. And I was really pissed. But conscious of it. Conscious of it. Okay, conscious of what was going on. And I still knew that it wasn't about these people. It wasn't about the one that was being trained. It was all about me, what was going on inside of me. I knew that. You know, but sometimes, you know, you like to blame circumstances. I never blame because I know better. But so then the woman, the real efficient one, comes back on, and she clicks and goes right into my, and I'm going to get to my callers in just a second, goes right into fixing it in 2 seconds. And then she asked me, and your name again? Now, my name was already logged in, so there's another question that annoyed me even more. And I gave her my name. But that is a huge button. Those were my button. That was a huge button pusher for me. But it is still my responsibility, to do something about my buttons. No one else, my responsibility. I'm going to give you another really quick example. And you're free, people call in at 646-564-9619 to ask Rebecca anything. But let me give you another really quick example. There is a medical office that I've been going to for the last 6 months, and the receptionist talks like this.
Oh, hi, it's really nice to meet you. Can you please sign us these forms for release? And here, sign that. Do you need a parking validation?
And I don't know why the universe wanted me to experience that. Probably it was around the full moon also. And the voice alone and the constant talking, in other words, constant, never quiet.
Yeah, can you, I'll help you over here. Did you fill out the forms? Okay, now after you fill out the forms, do this and go here and then take this ticket and, oh, make sure you fill out the forms. Make sure you sign an initial. Did you sign an initial?
And I remember going first time I was just too through, and the second time, and I said, okay, Rebecca, this is your problem. This is your issue. And now, and I knew that I had to accept the way she talked and how she talked and the continual talking. But the bottom line is this, audience. It always goes back to me. It always goes back to the person in the mirror, and it always goes back to acceptance. It's never about the high talker. It's never about the slow lady that doesn't know what she's doing and puts you on hold for 5 minutes. It's always about me. So what does that mean? That means that I have work to do. And also, what do I prioritize? Do I prioritize being happy? And now thinking about it even further, so I started asking myself this question, because that's what's really important. You have to ask the questions, and you have to really do a lot of soul searching. You have to really look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with anybody else, but you have to be honest with yourself. And the question comes to, what do you prioritize? What do you prioritize? You can see it based on what you do every single day. I'm a writer. I've written a book. I'm searching for publishers right now, getting a lot of rejections. That doesn't bother me. But I've been asked to write articles every month. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Why? Because I don't prioritize writing. I do a lot of writing, but it's not a priority. And I'm not saying what's right or wrong. I'm just telling you. I've been told the last few months, Rebecca, you're going to have to eat more raw foods. Okay. Do I do that? Not yet. Why? Because it's not a priority yet in my life. Rebecca, you're going to have to do more stretching. Do I do that? Sometimes. Why? Because I don't prioritize stretching. What I do prioritize is what I do. What you prioritize is what you do. So prioritizing happiness, prioritizing wanting to be peaceful, giving out peace and sending peace and creating peace is a priority for me. And in my life, in my world, it's the only priority. So I really had to be honest. I discovered something else I prioritize, which is really kind of crazy. And that is I prioritize my hair because I have all of these hair products, and it's the hair and the hair and the hair. Yeah, that's a priority for me, even more a priority than my diet. But I want to go to the calls. I have a few callers in the queue. And let's see. Let's go to area code 253. Area code 253. You are live on Reality Spirituality. Welcome. What's your first name?
Hi, my name's Holly.
Hi, Holly. Welcome. Have I talked to you before?
I think so, a long time ago.
Yay. What's up?
I'm just wondering, is there another, can Spirit tell us another option to help me get custody of my stepson? It's not my biological, it's my stepson.
And your question is?
How can I get custody of him?
Well, let me explain something. One of the things we humans do is think that we are in charge and think that we can make something happen. If you do not have custody of your son at this moment, you're not supposed to have custody of your son at this moment. Follow your intuition, follow your inspiration, and do whatever, however you're guided. But thinking that something's wrong in this moment, thinking that you need something to happen for whatever reason, will keep you in this state of being anxious and wanting something other than it is. Know that your stepson is also being guided and also being watched over and also being embraced by the universe. And he is exactly where he's supposed to be right at this moment. It's his journey. So I invite you, instead of looking at a situation, I invite you to get really in tune with looking in the mirror and knowing that everything is in order. Everything is evolving the way it's supposed to, and to be okay with that. This is not your problem. Yeah, it's really not our plan. Sorry to say, trust me, I've tried to control what's going on in my life forever. It's really not our plan. It's the universe's plan. And know that the universe has the greatest plan. Did that help?
Oh, no. I just was hoping for an idea of what to
do. Yeah, that's all I can give you. Because you're looking to see that there's something wrong that you're custody and not custody, and go through whatever systems you have to go through, but relax with it. Relax with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just he's in danger where he is. He was choked, and I'm worried that he's going to be choked again.
Well, if he's in danger, how old is he?
11.
Okay, well, he's in danger, then go to the police.
I did, but he was scared and told the police he wasn't choked. So it's
well, then what can you do? Well, then there's just so much you can do. You go to the police, and you know what? I'm sure there's some kind of organizations, just Google it on organizations that will help people in situations like you. You're trying to protect a child, and I'm right there with you. But
yeah.
You've got to do the work. You've got to do the homework and find out how you can do it. Go to a family law attorney and find out what they can do. But, you know, you've got to do that work. I can't help you with, you know, what specifically to do. But child's in danger, I would be right on it 24/7.
Yeah.
Other than kidnapping him. I would even kidnap him if I had to.
I tried that. So,
well,
legally.
You have to keep doing it, and especially if he's not admitting it, there's really nothing you can do. There's so many children that are in danger. What can I do specifically? You've got to just do all the avenues, whatever you can do.
Yeah.
And keep trying, 24/7. Looking right now on hold with me, talking to me on the computer, finding out what you can do. Spend every waking moment figuring out what you can do. Community centers, women's shelters, attorneys, police could, the police could help you with that. I mean, give you some directions. That's my advice.
Okay.
And do that today.
Oh,
get
I
off
am.
Good. Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Ooh wee, hey! Oh, well, looky here, Area code 626, and yippity yip. Hello, what is your first name? You're live on Reality Spirituality.
Hello, can you hear me?
No, I can't. Can you hear me?
Well, I guess you can. Hey, good morning. What's up?
Well, good morning, Nathan, everyone on Reality Spirituality. This is Nathan.
What's up? Yeah, just kind of clocked in on getting your last call there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just trusting that you told her to sort of trust that everything is going on. Oh, yeah. And then also just kind of advising her on doing what she can do. So I like what you said about kind of trusting that everything is in order. And then also, like, does that mean not doing anything, or I guess every situation is a little different?
Is this a question for you, or is this a question for her?
I guess it's a question for me. I mean, I was kind of just listening. I was enjoying listening, but.
Well, let me answer your question, because it's really, really an important one, and what a lot of people struggle with, and I have to say I struggled with it for decades, thinking that something else is supposed to be happening, or thinking that I have to make something happen, or I'm not responsible, or no, I am responsible for making something happen. As you know, I wrote a book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, and just plugging that for a second. And if the universe, you know, what I always ask this of myself, if I want to be a New York Times bestselling author, right? But what if the universe isn't the plan? Who do you think is going to win? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I would say the universe is going to get on that one.
And the thing is, the universe plan is, I think one of the hardest things that I had to do, hardest, is give up thinking that I had control over this life and what happens. I don't have control over anything that happens to me, because quite frankly, let me ask this question: if you had control, would you have designed your life exactly the way that it has been unfolding? And it's a yes or no question.
I guess I would have to say no.
Well, I would definitely say no.
Yeah.
I would definitely say no, because things that have happened, I would not have signed off on that. I would not have agreed to that. But that's what I know, that I'm not in control. But what I did sign off on and what I did agree to before I came here, I agreed to all of it. I agreed to all of these experiences. I agreed. I actually wanted to experience this. But that was before I came here, thinking that I had control, and then learning that, I got to work hard, and then things are going to happen. What it is an inspiration. When I'm inspired to write, I write. When I'm inspired to have a radio show, I have a radio show. Whatever I'm inspired to do is what I'm going to do. But I'm not making anything happen. That's what I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we're inspired to do what we do, but what happens after that is not necessarily, like, up to us.
Yes!
Yeah. I like that as far as trusting the universe. It feels frustrating because, I do expect certain things to happen. I want something to happen. And so I guess my question is now then, what if I'm inspired to do something, then if I'm not looking for like a goal or like a result, then
exactly.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point of doing anything? What's the point of doing anything? I guess I know we talk about kind of staying in the moment. Being present is always helpful, but it's like.
You're exactly right. You do what you're inspired to do, but then there's no attachment to the future moment. There's no attachment to a future anything. You do what you're doing in the moment. If you're inspired to work out, you're inspired to work out. If you're inspired to dance, you're inspired to, if you're inspired to write, you do what you're inspired to do, but there's no attachment to anything happening in the future. See, it's a really tricky thing, letting go of the future and having the attachment to the future, and is trust me, it is frustrating. It is because I don't know about you, Nathan, but nothing happens that I planned it to happen. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I could say some things kind of work out how I think they do. I mean, even if they're small things, and then some things work out like there's like half kind of fits it and half doesn't, and then some things are totally not it. You know, it's a little bit of a mix.
Mm-hmm.
Or even something simple like going to the store, or driving to a restaurant. It's like I plan to drive to the restaurant. Get the directions, and then I go, and then a half hour later I'm at the restaurant.
Right. But this is what I'm really attached. This is what I really mean, and it's what it is an attachment to the future, an attachment to something happening that you're trying to make happen. So I say, okay, I want to go to. Let's just throw this out. I want to go to Taco Bell. So I want to go to Taco Bell, and then I'm inspired to go, and I'm driving to Taco Bell. But I don't have any attachment to, okay, what if the Taco Bell is closed? It really is in every single moment that I'm not expecting to have Taco Bell until I have the food in my hand. Unless I have the food in the car, I'll order the food. There's really, it's a moment by moment, and attachment to any, and especially, that's a really, really kind of quirky example, but it's about life itself. Whatever is happening, this attachment to living in the future, being in the future, wanting the future, knowing what the future holds, will keep you very, very on edge.
Now, I'm down with that. I definitely can relate to that. And I really like the idea of, even if it's something simple like, okay, I want Taco Bell, you know, what if Taco Bell's open and they don't, for some reason, have the chicken burrito?
So thank you. Yes.
And then now I am, because I quote unquote knew that they would have it, now I'm kind of like messed up a little bit if they don't.
Exactly. Let me give you a really quick, because I have another caller. I'm going to go to another caller. But let me give you a really quick, perfect, you're absolutely right, perfect example. I have the Importance of Happiness class, and last session I had 15 people in the class. This session I have 3.
mm-hmm.
But the thing is, attachment to numbers. Attachments to having a big number or thinking that I should have more numbers, even attachments to a number, meaning so the universe needed or the universe planned for me to have these 3. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, 2 of them didn't even show up.
Mm.
So I'm doing a one-on-one with one of the students, which was really beneficial for her, really beneficial for me. See, it's never, ever having attachment to a number, to how many. It's just flowing with reality and accepting reality in every moment. And when I'll tell you this, when you don't accept reality and you're not, and you're dissatisfied, because the energy of dissatisfaction with in this moment is going to take you to an energy of dissatisfaction in the future moment. You will, if you're not satisfied in this moment, I guarantee you will not be satisfied in your future moment as well.
Oof. Well, then I better get satisfied right now. I like it. Thank you.
It takes a lot of practice. Well, I have a few people in the queue, but no, if you want to speak to me, just press number 1. So if you don't want to speak with me, that's fine. But, yeah, that's a big one, Nathan. You said your name was Nathan, right?
That's right.
Your name's Nathan, right?
That's right, Nathan. Sometimes Nate.
Sometimes Nate. Okay.
Yeah. All right, cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
So I don't know if you heard earlier on the show, because we're talking about getting your buttons pushed. Did you hear that part?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Well, I got some buttons, so what about it?
Well, let me just share it with you, because it's very, very important and very, very profound. It came up in my happiness class, and I was talking about getting your buttons pushed, but guess what? It's up to the guy in the mirror to get rid of all of those buttons.
I guess that's me.
Yes, it is.
so you said no buttons then?
No buttons. If I have a button, then guess what? Then it's going to be pushed. But if I don't have a button, guess what? And getting rid of buttons is not an easy task. And again, I say, it all depends on what you prioritize. If you prioritize happiness, if you prioritize wanting peace in your life and wanting to have, in other words, a peaceful internal state, then you will work on doing something. Just like I gave the advice to that lady, call the police department, find out what you can do, get on it 24/7. You got to get on this happiness thing 24/7. It has to be a priority. And when happiness isn't, when it isn't a priority, then you got buttons pushed. Now, I know what buttons push my buttons, and I'm working on my buttons.
Well, I'm working on my buttons too.
What's one
I like
of your
that.
Buttons?
What is one of them?
Yes.
Geez, where do I begin? some days, like, I'll have a button of somebody, well, you know, I like this one who is riding the subway and people talking too loud. you know, that's an easy one. Because I think that, you know, the public transit, people should kind of respect the space, some days, you know, if I'm feeling good, or if I really, really, because I know this is years of the same button being pushed, so I kind of know that button. Mm-hmm. So if I know that, every time I get on the subway, now I just tell myself, okay, this is not my subway. This is not necessarily going to be my quiet time. And I just have to remember that. And if I go in with that, then if someone's talking, I feel like that button isn't really there, or it doesn't get pushed. You know, if I do a little bit of work before, like you were saying, kind of doing
Ooh.
A little work.
Ooh. I love it. I love it. So see, this is exactly what I was saying. So you recognize that is a button, and then you in other words, you put in the work prior to, and I'm going to tell you right now, you put in that work the prior to, you put in that work the prior to, and you do it all the time, just like we brush our teeth every day. You do it every day before you get on the subway, every time you get on subways. There's going to be a time where you don't even need to do it. It's going to be a part of who you are.
Well, I look forward to that day.
When you have to practice, you can't see you like listen. You talk about stretching and stretching and stretching the body and stretching the body, and that's a priority. Do you stretch every day?
Most every day, yes.
So because that's a priority to you.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
And so this wanting to have these buttons eliminated is, let's just go to that one button, because you work on one button at a time. Don't try to work on a lot of buttons. I mean, I like to you know, do multitasking, multi-buttons, but sometimes you can only work on one button at a time. But if you did that, if you prioritize that, because there are things that bothered me years ago that they don't even on the radar scale.
Which is good. That feels good. I know.
And
what
so
like.
You too. Every time you have to do it. Every single time. You prioritize what you eat, your food. Most of the time. Every single time.
Yeah.
And I have two priorities, happiness and my hair.
Oh, I did hear that part. I like that.
Yeah, I just discovered that because I'm thinking, what do I prioritize, happiness and hair? There you go.
Gosh. Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nathan, this is a great, great, great call. Very important, and I thank you so much for being honest and open and just sharing with the audience, because it is the everyday, it is the moment by moment, it is the small things.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, thank you for that. That was fun.
You're welcome. And let me just say this, because I want to ask you, because I know that you're into theater too, and dancing and tap and all that. When you started dancing, you know, you were just a beginner dancer, and then you practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced, and now you're a better dancer, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I guess I would say that. I mean, it just reminds me of patience too, because it takes time. I mean, progress can be made in an instant. You know, I feel like progress is made all in moments, every moment. But sometimes it's a little progress, and sometimes it feels like a big progress, and that's just the way it is. You know, sometimes it feels very small, and but I definitely know that even small feels good, feels better than nothing.
Okay, so let me just add this. You said two really, really important points. You're talking about patience. And, yes, one of the things that is huge is having patience. I was taught not to have any patience, zero patience, especially for other people, just zero, zero, zero patience. So what it is an unlearning. And then also look at, I love to give this example of the creation, the evolution of this planet. What is it, 7 billion years ago, where it was just a rock, and then it turned into a bigger rock, and then ice age and fire, and billions of years just to form, and still changing. So it really is, this patience is so important, and the label of small and big, big and small, are labels that, first of all labels subtract from happiness. There's no such thing as big and small. Yeah, there's no such thing. It's your interpretation. There's no big, no small. It's all just progress.
Okay.
It's all growth.
I really like that. Yes, labels. Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Because small growth will get you into, oh, it's just small.
Yeah.
Growth is growth. Okay, I'm going to let you go.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nathan. Call in anytime.
All right. Ayo.
Ayo, ayo.
Ayo, ayo.
So I want to invite anyone that wants to speak with me, just press the number 1. We're going to wrap up the show in a couple more minutes. But again, I want to do a really quick recap of what we're talking about, pressing buttons, and can people press your buttons? And the answer is, if they can, it's on you. And the answer, again, is if they do, guess what? If they do, when they do, it is your job, your responsibility to recognize which button, what button needs to be worked on. I gave the examples earlier. But again, if it's people, there's a least common denominator, and it always comes back to acceptance. Acceptance of others exactly the way they are. And never take what these people, I love to say these people, never take what these people do or say personally. Never take what anyone does or says personally, even if it's directed at you. It's never personal. And this acceptance goes really deep, because when you begin to accept that person in the mirror, when you begin to look and accept, people say love, unconditional love, yeah. Acceptance of all of who you are, totally, you will be able to accept others, whatever they're doing, why they're doing it. Do I have this 100%? My left arm goes up, my left hand goes up. No, not yet. But again, like Nathan was saying, it's all about progress. Growth is always happening. Everything changes. Everything changes. Circumstance change. People change. Realities change. And the key is to flow. Flow without resistance in the life. If you're not liking what's going on in your life right now at this moment, then you're resisting. And when you're resisting, you're pushing against the universe. And let me tell you something, for somebody that used to push against the universe all the time, it never works. It never, ever works. Acceptance of every moment, and even how you respond to every moment, is your job. You don't have control over what happens, but you have control over your perspective, your perception. You have control over your words. You have control over your behavior. And even more importantly, you have control over your personal vibration. Now, if you have a personal vibration of dissatisfaction, I'm not satisfied, then you're taking that energy, you're taking that vibration, and you're taking it into every moment. Listen, I'm here to tell you, it's not easy, and it does take time, but it's worth every practice. It's worth every moment to practice accepting. Do you think that I like everything that's happening in my life, but one thing I know. And see, what happens is you start to think differently, and your foundation is one of trust. Your foundation becomes one of trust and one of knowing that everything that is happening is supposed to happen. Everything that isn't happening is supposed to not happen. And when you trust that and you know that it is a divine plan, it is a bigger plan, it is the universe's plan, and you surrender to it, and you don't complain about it, you don't want something that's not happening, that's how to have more peace. It's interesting. Let me just share really quickly. I just found out that I will be having my own television show in Monrovia. It's a cable show. It's a cable network, very small studio, but I have a cable show, and it's going to be called The Importance of Happiness with Rebecca L. Norrington. But I didn't do anything to get it. Now, what happened was, one of the students in my happiness class in January, she knows the woman that puts on programs at this cable network. I was interviewed a month ago. I talked to the station manager, and I said, would you be interested in having a show on happiness? And he said, yes. And that's how it happened. Now, Monrovia, the city of Monrovia, has a number of 14,000 people. Am I happy with that number? Am I okay with that number? You can only see the show in Monrovia. I'm gonna have to put on a YouTube channel and have the shows broadcast on YouTube too. But okay, thank you, universe. And it's going to be easy. And it's going to be, I don't know, when I say easy, I mean it just happened. This life is really effortless when you let go of that steering wheel, when you stop trying to make things happen and you allow the universe to take over and you really surrender. Now, the hardest thing to do is to surrender. But you have to trust first before you can. You have to let go of thinking that you are the person making these things happen. I don't care who you are. When I say I don't care who you are, even Oprah Winfrey, the universe wanted that woman to have and do all that she's doing. That's my opinion. She might have a different opinion about it, how she's working, but everything, if I listened to her bio, I listened to her master class a couple weeks ago, and she just talked about how things just fell in her lap, then this happened, and then that happened, and this happened, and that happened. And that's how life is. Now, the problem comes when I think, oh, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Oh, it's supposed to be different. Oh, it's supposed to look like this. But that's on us. Detach from how you think it's supposed to unfold, how you think it's supposed to look, and guess what? Your life is going to change. It becomes effortless. Let the universe figure out how, and practice relaxing and resisting nothing and being okay with all of it. It's a brain. It's you know, I was brainwashed, and it's actually a de-brainwashing. Is that a word? De-brainwashing? I just made it up. Put that in the Webster's dictionary. It's really a way of practicing thinking another way. Ooh, what a great show today. Well, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality, and Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And you can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, which I know that you have, go to Facebook, the Reality Spirituality page, Facebook, and like Reality Spirituality. Until next time, my dear audience, I just want to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You are consciousness. You are the universe. You're always changing and you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Talk to you again next Sunday. Thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some.
Get real good.
Now,
get real good.
Now,
but I'm